got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark at Arlington National Cemetery. Taps during a ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown for Memorial Day. President Biden is set to speak and lay a wreath. Severe storms that took a deadly toll in the heartland, killing seven people in North Texas, have now moved east, and they exacted a major toll overnight in Kentucky, where Governor Andy Beshear said,
"So far, we believe at least a few tornadoes touched down, including the one that we know was on the ground at least 40 miles. That tornado just barely missed the prison in Eddyville, just barely missed Mayfield."
He said four people were killed. This means more than 20 people have died in the extreme weather outbreak. The Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry says 45 people died in Israel's strike on a refugee camp in Rafah. Israel says it used precision weapons and that it killed two Hamas leaders. This is ABC News. More help's on the way to Ukraine and its war against Russia, this time from Spain. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said Spain is promising new air defense missiles to counter Russian attacks. A weekend of golf turned into a weekend of sorrow at a PGA tournament in Texas.
The golf world mourning the tragic loss of professional golfer Grayson Murray. Broadcasters announcing the 30-year-old's death during the third round of the Charles Schwab Challenge on Saturday.
Such a sad, sad day for the PGA Tour.
Murray's parents confirming Sunday that their son died by suicide, saying in part, "It's a nightmare. We have so many questions that have no answers. But one, was Grayson loved? The answer is yes."
It's ABC's Will Reeve. If you or someone you know is struggling, you can access help at the National Crisis Lifeline, dialing 988. The Boston Celtics can get back to the NBA Finals with a win tonight. They lead the Indiana Pacers 3-0. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The body of a man was pulled from where the East and West Twin Rivers meet in Two Rivers Sunday morning. Police say the body was discovered in Two Rivers Harbor by two fishermen. Authorities determined the man, who is white with brown hair and several tattoos, to be between the ages of 30 to 50 years old. An investigation by local law enforcement and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources looks to positively identify the man. The cause of death is still undetermined, but Two Rivers police don't suspect any foul play. A Friday morning fire at a downtown Madison church may have been started with a lightning strike.
Madison Fire Department investigators working to confirm that a lightning strike caused the fire in the steeple of historic Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Crews responded after multiple 911 calls reported fire and smoke coming from the steeple. Two ladder companies attacked the fire from outside. Two engine companies gained access to the church to beat back the blaze from the inside. There were no injuries. Damage estimates are not available yet, but the steeple and items in or near it suffered significant water damage. In Madison, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You may want to consider new research on alcohol consumption. It shows the safest amount of alcohol is none, with consumption tied to various cancers. Dr. Noel LeConte is an oncologist and associate professor of medicine at UW-Madison. She acknowledges the role alcohol plays in Wisconsin culture.
I love Wisconsin with my whole heart, and I hope that me trying to shine a light on alcohol consumption patterns here is not viewed as me being critical of Wisconsin. I am Wisconsin, and I believe deeply we can do better.
LeConte's advice is don't start drinking if you don't do it now. If you are drinking and you want to cut down, talk to your doctor first. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Cooler today with high temperatures only making it to the 60s. Some spots of sun will quickly be replaced with thickening clouds and showers and thunderstorm chances this afternoon and into the evening, and none are expected to be severe. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 61.
Happy Memorial Day. Markets are closed, but we've got some fresh thoughts marinating to go along with your burgers, steaks, chops, hot dogs, yard bird, brisket, pork butts, whatever else you might have thrown on the grill, to welcome in the unofficial start of summer.
From Memorial Day afternoon via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we feature encore segments with Terry Lynn of the Lynn Group, and then it's Pete Meyer from Muddy Boots Ag. Later, Carrie Artak from ArtakAdvisory.com for a fresh look at the technicals. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much, and welcome to AgriTalk on this Memorial Day afternoon. Hope you've had a great weekend to this point. Hope you continue to have a great weekend, and hopefully, you got to take in a ceremony at one of the cemeteries across the country for us to pay our respects to the fallen service members that gave it all so that we could live the life that we live here in this great country, Davis.
Yep. They put on a whole thing down at the World War One memorial / museum down there. They're lighting off cannons. They got people with violins and these giant fiddles you have to sit down to play. It was awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool. The country, for the most part, does a great job of remembering those, as I said, that have sacrificed it all for us, for our freedoms. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. A couple of encore presentations coming your way. And the reason that I picked these is because I think the conversation with Terry Lynn does a nice job of kind of framing up what the summer, what the markets are going to be looking at this summer, and some of the things that are going to be influencing prices on a day-to-day basis. And then the biofuels conversation that I had with Pete Meyer last week, I thought that was really good. It's some longer-term influences on the markets that we need to be prepared for and ready for. And there's a call to action in there for the U.S. Yep. Treasury Department that we're going to have to repeat many, many times to make sure that it is understood how important it is. So we're going to keep that going. Going to keep it going. Yep. All right, buddy. Should we go over some news?
Let's keep that going, too. Red winter and spring wheat futures finished last week with solid gains, while soft red winter wheat futures spent most of Friday under light pressure. July SRW did trade on both sides of $7 for a fourth consecutive week, but the contract closed well below last week's high. Expectations of a big soft red winter wheat harvest in the U.S. limited buying interest for the second half of last week. July HRW futures spent most of Friday on the plus side of unchanged and push higher in late trade to close near the high of the week. Declining crop expectations for Russia and Ukraine did limit selling in the hard wheats. On Friday, July HRW wheat futures 10.5 cents higher, 7.21 1/4. July SRW wheat down 0.75 cents, 6.97 1/4. July spring wheat closed at 7.52 3/4. That's up 8 3/4 cents, Chip.
Yeah, Illinois Wheat Association did a tour last week. They've done it before. They found some great yield potential on that Illinois crop down in the southern part of the state. Yep. Did almost 60 samples out of the southern part of the state. So it's not an insignificant tour that they are doing, and it should give us a pretty good idea. Better crop than what they found a year ago. Mm-hmm. On the week, July SRW wheat last week was up 46 cents. July HRW wheat up 59.5 cents, and July Minneapolis or spring wheat futures up 41.25.
Well, Chip, corn futures opened fractionally higher and closed back at the opening range while posting an inside trading day on Friday. After a big rally last Monday, corn futures fought to hold on to those gains and slowly built upside momentum. Short covering by professional trading funds provided much of the support for corn prices on Friday. More Midwest rain provided some fundamental support for corn prices, although many crop watchers are reluctant to build in yield or acreage losses at this time. There is more rain in the forecast, Chip, and traders will reassess crop potential with the flip of the calendar to June. July corn futures were 0.75 cents higher on Friday. That's 4.64 3/4. September corn up 1 1/4 cents to 4.74 1/2. December corn futures closed at 4.88 1/4. That's up 1 3/4 cents, Chip.
Yeah, okay. Now, July corn last week was up 12.25. December corn was up 11.75 cents. But there was increasing frustration among some farmers, and rightfully so, that maybe the market wasn't paying enough attention to the planting delays and some of the yield risk that is associated with too much water. And if you want to make the hair stand up on the back of a corn farmer's neck right now, just kind of whisper to him, rain makes grain.
Oof.
Yeah. And that will create some issues because we've gotten to the point in some areas, not all, but in some areas that, we could shut it off for a little while. We'll be just fine.
Yep. But July bean futures found tough resistance at 12.50 last week. And that is likely to continue this week. Chart watchers say a single close above 1250 in July beans would open significant upside potential for both old and new crop contracts. Strengthened soybean meal futures helped bean prices push higher on Friday. July meal opened slightly higher in near session lows, closed solidly higher near session highs. Bean oil traded higher early last week, but gave up those gains. Planting delays are expected to continue in the week ahead and are expected to become more of a market factor in post-Memorial Day trade. July beans on Friday, 8 3/4 cents higher, 12.48. August up 7 1/4, 12.45. November beans closed at 12.19 1/2. That's up 3 1/2.
You know, here's some evidence that maybe some money was moving around just for the sake of money movement in the soy complex last week. July bean oil last week was down 32 points. July soybean meal was up $17.70 a ton. A lot of spread action was happening in the product markets. July soybeans last week up 20 cents a bushel, and November beans up 16.25.
Well, Chip, after 2 days of a huge rally, cotton futures posted an inside trading day with a high range open and a low range close on Friday. July cotton 120 points lower on Friday at 80.52, Chip.
Yeah, July cotton on the week, though, was up 463 points. It was a big, big week.
Boxed beef prices were higher again on Friday morning on good movement, and that helped support front month live cattle futures. Cash cattle trade last week also widely expected to reach a new all-time high as bids follow the beef market higher. June, fat cattle were 17 and a half higher at 183.70. August feeder futures a buck 22 and a half lower at 260.22 and a half. And on the snout side, lean hog futures slumped to a new for the move low to end last week. June hogs Friday, 25 cents lower, 94.27 and one half. Chip.
Yeah, tough week all the way around for June hogs, or for the lean hog market in general. Down 4 out of the 5 days on the week. June lean hogs lost $2.22.5. June live cattle last week up $2.65 on a really strong performance in the box beef trade. August feeder cattle last week up just 37.5 cents. Davis, good stuff. Have a good rest of your Memorial Day, buddy.
Well, thanks, buddy. You too. Let's be safe out there, everyone. We appreciate everybody listening, and that's it.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Thank you so much. Stay tuned. We've got a conversation with Terry Lind from the Lind Group coming up next here on AgriTalk.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. Having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it, it's kind of taught me that it's not just those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group with Wounded Warrior Project and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory, and happy Memorial Day. Just a reminder, if you are not able to participate in one of the many Memorial Day ceremonies today, there is a national moment of silence or a moment of remembrance at 3 p.m. That's 3 p.m. in your time zone, and we are all encouraged to stop what we are doing for 1 minute to remember our fallen service members at that time. Okay, let's talk markets. Last week, I had an opportunity to chat with Terry Lynn from the Lynn Group. We talked about what he thinks are going to be some of the most important factors for the grain markets this summer. That includes some of the production issues around the globe, in Europe, in Australia, in South America. You know, I think it was just a really great preview of the summer market. So it's worth another listen right now. Let's bring in today's guest analyst, Terry Lynn from the Lynn Group. Terry, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, Chip, doing great. Thanks. Good to talk with you too, always.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, man. When Chicago type issues come up in these grain markets, and I'm thinking about the fund positions in particular, I go back to some of the conversations that we had years and years and years ago, and how much I learned from you guys and the other guys, Roy, and the other guys there at the Lynn Group, and boy, there's some fond memories there. That's pretty cool stuff.
That's right. I've been very fortunate to learn from some very, very well-educated market participants. And so I've been very fortunate in my career.
Yeah. Yeah. You've passed that on, shall we say, and doing a great job yourself. I want to talk a little bit more about weather, and I want to start off in wheat. Because if there is a market that feels like it may be having legitimate weather market feelings, it could be wheat, right?
Well, yeah, you're getting right to the crux of the matter here, Chip. And, you know, in a nutshell, I think that, you know, you have this kind of myriad of regional weather issues and of varying degrees of significance, of course. And overall, what that's done, it's contributed to a bit of a risk-on attitude led by the wheat market, which historically wheat tends to be the leader. And this has helped to encourage the funds in turn to kind of get less short the ags over the past month and add some risk premium back into these markets, which really was needed. We bottomed the corn and the bean markets, I think it was 3 months ago, and the wheat market shortly after that. That included the funds building these positions, record shorts, and, you know, kind of overdid things as we tend to do. And so we're just kind of getting the pot right here. And we've had some weather here in the United States also that has contributed to some anxiety levels. We put some premium back on the board. But you're right. Wheat has been the leader, particularly in the former Soviet Union, particularly in the south of Russia. Where you've had a combination of problems there. You've had ongoing drought and you've had frost and freeze issues. And so you've hurt that crop. And this follows years of record production in that area. So it's taking what really is an exportable global wheat supplies and shaving off some valuable tonnage that had been counted on. So we're seeing the world cash markets firm up, reflecting that. And of course, the futures here in the U.S. Doing the same.
Yeah, I've had some listeners, and most of them are wheat farmers that I would attribute these comments to, but they kind of complain about or lament the fact that weather in Russia means more than weather in Kansas to this U.S. wheat market. Well, yeah. It really does, doesn't it?
Well, Kansas is kind of used to dry conditions and drought for multiple years, and this year, there's less of that crop area that is stuck in that really extreme drought condition. Not that there isn't some, that's for sure, we've in the big picture of the United States HRW crop. Things overall are much better than we were a year ago. Mm-hmm. And we've got a strong soft wheat crop this year as well.
Yeah, again, on the soft wheat crop. It seems like that crop has been doing fairly well here for a while. Now, when we get into Europe, it's not just Russia that we are watching We've also got some issues in Ukraine. There are issues in other countries in Europe that are also showing up as potential market movers, aren't there?
Yeah, and as you piece together all of these regional weather issues, and you know, whether it's Europe, there's increasing concern over Australia. There's concern in south of Brazil for one reason, and the center of Brazil for another. All these things, as you put them together, kind of merge into a higher level of concern that's contributing to the risk on.
Right. Right. Okay. Let's see. Do I still have you, Terry?
Yes, I'm.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I just want to make sure there is a quick cutoff on my audio. I just wanted to make sure that I still had you ready to roll here. Okay. A couple of other weather issues that I want to talk about. What's the bottom line in Australia?
Well, Australia is kind of a tale of two halves right now, where you've got the west and the south of the country that is dealing with dryness issues. And so it's just one more region to put on the radar as far as the potential to develop problems. And that would be a factor for wheat. It would be a factor for canola. And so canola is something that's also been hurt in south of Russia and Ukraine, and the wheat markets over there also being impacted, and you can include Kazakhstan in there as well. And so you've got several commodities that are having very specific regional issues, and basically just taking some of, you know, what had been this big global oversupply story and kind of whittling away at it.
Yeah. Yeah. So those global balance sheets, obviously something that we need to watch. You know, you've said a couple of things that make me perk up when we're talking about commodity markets, that being a risk on attitude, putting premium back on the board. Those are the kind of things that make me think, are the funds ready to get back on the long side of this market?
Yeah, and that's one of the million-dollar questions of the moment. And yeah. You know, we're somewhat at a disadvantage in terms of the CFTC data that is outdated by the time we get it every Friday. It's only through the previous Tuesday's trade. So it's somewhat of a backward looking exercise in trying to forecast the commitment of traders and what the funds might be doing. You know, I think that we've seen the first stage, which is getting less short. Will the funds decide to go long in any or all of these grain markets? And that's something that you need a story. And, you know, we've got several potential smaller stories that maybe add up to something a little bit bigger. But I don't see any glaring bull story out there that says, yeah, they're going to hit the pedal to the metal and now go long 100,000 corn. Not saying that they won't do that or can't do that, but if you're searching for that big gleaming bull story out there that you can grab a hold of, that's still kind of lacking.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems for the funds to do that, to jump onto the long side of the ag commodities, don't they have to have a story? I think this is the right way of saying it. Don't they have to have a stronger inflationary story than what we're talking about right now?
Well, that's certainly can be a component to the thought process there that could be something that makes that decision whether to go long or not. I think that there's a lot of factors that funds can look at, and there's
right.
different types of funds as well that look at things differently and allocate fund flows at different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about the index funds, I think, the long-only funds. Have there been any adjustments on the index funds that we need to be aware of?
Well, you're right. The index funds operate from a long-only position, and I think that has been somewhat of a subdued stance in terms of the length in the ag space, but that's something to watch for to see if they want to expand that and see more upside risk in these markets.
Good stuff from Terry Lynn at the Lynn Group right there. Okay, biofuels. They're going to be an important issue for the grain markets, not only this summer, but for the years ahead. We're going to be talking biofuels with Pete Meyer from Muddy Boots Ag up next here on AgriTalk.
Those are still...
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check Friday's closes, where July HRW wheat gained 10.5 cents to 7.21¼. July SRW down 0.75 cents to 6.97¼. On Friday, July corn futures gained 0.75 cents to close at 4.64¾. December futures were up 1¾ to 4.88¼. July soybean futures gained 8¾ cents to 12.48 even. November beans gained 3½ cents to 12.19½. July cotton fell 120 points to 80.52. On your livestocks, June fat cattle gained 17½ cents to 183.70. October feeders fell 77½ cents to 262.55. And July lean hogs fell 25 cents on Friday to close at 97.22½. Get more market news every market day. Just visit tryprofarmer.com.
There's danger out there.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Cooler today with high temperatures only making it to the 60s. Some spots of sun will quickly be replaced with thickening clouds and showers and thunderstorm chances this afternoon and into the evening. And none are expected to be severe. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 61.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Memorial Day. Glad you're with us. You know, biofuels are going to play a huge role in the performance of the markets for a long time into the future. I had a great discussion about that this past week with Pete Meyer from Muddy Boots Ag. This guy spends a lot of time studying and focusing on the policies and the markets surrounding the biofuels. And, you know, it was so good. I think it is worth a revisit of that conversation right now. Pete, you're a big picture guy. Dow is 600 points lower as we speak. From the ag commodities perspective, does that mean anything?
No, I don't think so. I mean, here we are. We made, I look at the broader markets. So I look at the S&Ps, right? The S&P futures made a five-day high and a five-day low today. I mean, does the volatility tell you that there's possibly a top coming in? I mean, yesterday we focused on the Fed minutes. You and I had this discussion very long ago where we both agreed that four rate cuts were just not going to happen. I think we both agreed that, you know, maybe we'd get two. Now we're not going to get any. It's just not going to happen, right? Oh, inflation is stubborn.
Really?
No kidding. I had to stop myself from using the word I wanted to use. You know, no kidding. But, you know, you start to look at stuff, and like gasoline futures are the same price they were last year. Heating oil futures are a little bit higher than they were last year at this point. You know, and that's a big part of it. So what that tells you is that, I mean, it's just, I'm all for people making more money. But, you know, you also see, what was I reading the other day? The amount of chain restaurants that are closing this year. Mm-hmm. By like, you know, okay, everybody knows about Red Lobster going bankrupt. Yeah. All these other ones that are just, you know, out of money. And, you know, California put in the $20 minimum wage, and a lot of those restaurants are being closed there. People are just not going out to eat. I mean, they just, they look at it. Simple thing for me. I start every day with a large iced tea from Dunkin' Donuts. It was like $2.50 last year. It's $3.50 this year. Yeah. Don't tell it, you know, okay, by the grace of God, I can afford an extra buck every morning. But nonetheless, I mean, you just have to look at it and say, really?
Yep. Okay, you know, this inflation. I'll give you mine on that one. I make coffee every morning. It's Folgers. It's pretty simple stuff. Right now, it's about $9.50 for the big can. A year ago, I went back and looked. It was about $11. Okay, so it's down. But you go back 2 years ago, and it was about $7. Right. So
let's look at the difference between your cup of Folgers and my cup of Dunkin' Donuts iced tea. My cup of Dunkin' Donuts green iced tea has to be handled by people that need to get paid. You're doing it yourself. That's the difference in the price. The labor becomes the price, right? Now, we can go back and say, well, the Fed threw too much money in during the pandemic and everything got cheap and, or there was too much money around. I totally get that. But the fact of the matter is that as soon as labor touches something, that's where the price has gone up. I mean, Chip, let's go back to ag. Let's talk about what John Deere is doing in Waterloo.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Laying off.
It wasn't that long ago that the United Auto Workers, and I don't mean to pick on unions, but the United Auto Workers was doing a celebratory dance around their contract with John Deere. How's that working out for you now? Right. And the question now becomes is that contract was the basis for the contracts with the big three, Stellantis, GM, and Ford. How's that going to work out? Have you gone past your, I'm sure you have, your local car dealer all over the place, whether I'm in Iowa or Illinois or whatever, they're chock full with cars now. What's going to happen now?
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm with you. There's
to your point on the stock market. I mean, you know, to quote my dear friend Alan Greenspan, unbridled exuberance comes to mind all the time. But the fact of the matter is, if you try to stand in the way of this thing, the money flow is just going to run you over.
Right. And that has been proven time and time again. That's the amazing thing about it. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk planning progress. Anything got you worried?
No. I mean, I think that, you know, so we're about 7 points higher than typical late plant. I saw something online the other day. They were talking about it. I guess we were 75%. Personally, I think the numbers were a little bit low last week. So let's say corn, for instance, let's say we're at 73, 74, 75. Typically around this time of year, we're at 18%. So that's going to be lower. So what does that mean? That's going to mean that, you know, you could probably take a few bushels off of your trend line. Are we 179 and a half, 180 if you believe in a trend line? It's probably still there. But, okay. You know, I mean, the next question is, you know, prevent plant and acres. I mean, I was of the opinion that, you know, the prospective plantings numbers, which NAS hates, Lance and the boys, they hate that number, or they just hate it in general. I thought it was about 2 million acres too low, and I thought those 2 million acres would go into corn, and we'd plant 92 million. Now I don't know anymore. You know, now I'm thinking, well, maybe we're going to plant 91. Yep. You know, the soybean numbers seem to make perfect sense to me. So, you know, did we lose some acres? I mean, you talk to a guy like Treg Cronin out in South Dakota, he's got his crop in, but, you know, guys are talking about taking prevent plant out there, and he says, you know, it was such a nightmare the last time I had to take it that most people will do everything they can to get it in the ground.
To plant a crop.
But,
yeah.
Right. But, I mean, you know, when you also start to look at, like, from your alma mater, ISU, the ISU Misonet, I mean, you look at how wet it's been, it's really just totally focused in Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean, Northwest Crop District, second wettest in 132 years. Yeah. West Central, wettest in 132 years. North Central, wettest in 132 years. It's nuts. But then you just go across the border to Nebraska, and they're like in the 20s or the 30s wet, still wet. And then you get to, like, you know, Illinois, the center of Illinois is like the 75th wet, which is, you know, right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's the strangest thing.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, there's some areas there in eastern Nebraska, 17 inches of rain in the last month.
Yeah.
In Nebraska, dude. What the
but
world?
Damn it, I am so glad to get rid of the drought word this year, because it's so overused. Let's you know. But, you know, a wise farmer once told me years ago when I first got in the business that he'd rather have it dry to wet, because he knows what to do with dry. He doesn't know what to do with wet.
Right. Right.
Suffocation of roots, compaction, you name it, it could be a problem. But,
right.
You know, never mind the fact, you know, the terrible stuff that happened in the Omaha suburbs and Greenfield. You know, I mean, you know, if anybody doesn't think climate change is moving around, well, like Tornado Alley took a big step north this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. What's the upside potential in this corn market?
I think it's going to be a grind to $5. I think we can get the $5. That's not going to be very happy, a happy time for some producers that we know. And many people know that probably their cost of production is in the 515 to 525 area. But I think I've been kind of on the record here in the last month, Chip, to say it's going to be a grind. And it has been a grind. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I hope we just wake up one morning, it's 10 higher. We're trading 495. We could trade at $5, 501, something like that. But, you know, outside of that, I don't really see some upside potential, that much more upside potential. Your handsome newsman was talking about them reducing the Argentina crop. Mm-hmm. Okay, that helps a little bit as well. The Russian wheat crop is probably sub 85. The USDA was at 88. I think we're probably between 80 and 85. The wheat market is certainly reflective of that. Back over $7 again on the close in the front month. That's all supportive. But you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier as well in your opening comments. These beans are just like, you know, it's one of those markets when they look the best, you got to sell them. When they look the worst, you got to buy them. Today it looked so good in the morning, and next thing you know, we closed down 7.5 cents.
Yep.
It's like they're on drugs.
Yeah.
Or taking one of these energy drinks or something. I don't. And the rush kind of runs out after the opening. I don't get it. But very strange.
Yeah. And you make a great observation right there, Pete. When the early upside momentum drains out of the market late in the day. Nobody trusts it. Nobody trusts the early strength, so they're looking for their opportunity to jump in there and sell it.
Yeah,
pretty tough.
What else? What other world problems can we solve today, Chip?
The one thing that I am curious about, or that I've got on my list that I wanted to get to, what are you hearing on the Brazilian corn crop? Anything on that Safrina crop?
No.
Okay. All right, that solves that.
I just don't. Yeah, I think you know me for a long time. I'm not going to make up stuff here. I'm just not hearing anything about it. I'm really not. I think that, and when I say I'm not hearing anything, that's from people down there, right? They're just not. Now, are they quiet because it's bigger than they thought, or are they quiet because it's smaller than they thought? Who knows? I mean, I don't.
Okay.
But I just don't. I don't see it as a market mover.
Take a minute. Take 1 minute, yes, no sir. More, and explain to me why jet fuel producers are importing sugarcane ethanol from Brazil.
Extremely low CI score, and it's a feedstock that's readily available, and they can get a tax credit from it. Believe it or not, the tax credit is not based on the where the feedstock was domiciled, where the feedstock came from. So if I was LanzaJet, you're referring to LanzaJet in Georgia, sure, I'd be importing it as fast as I could. There is demand for sustainable aviation fuel. And because if you look at whether it's United, Delta, Southwest, airlines that we work with all the time, you look at their ESG statements, there's no way they get there without turning alcohol to jet. The problem you have with Brazil is that Brazil will not be a reliable supplier. And by that I mean when they have a big sugar crop, they raise the ethanol rate at home. When they have a big bean crop, they raise the biodiesel, you know, component at home. So you can only trust them when they have a big crop.
Yeah, that's right. Pete, great to talk with you again, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Chip. Appreciate your time. Good luck, everybody.
If you serve.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-460-3550. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now, 800-460-3550. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now, 800-460-3550.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
For a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer, join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. I'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I hope you enjoyed those encore presentations of a couple of the conversations that I had last week. I think they set the stage for this summer and highlighted some of the issues that will be not just day-to-day influences on the markets, but some of the issues that will likely be some big-picture market-moving items for the grains to consider in the weeks and months ahead. That's especially true for the biofuels comments from Pete Meyer at Muddy Boots Ag. Basically, what we are saying is the Treasury Department has until Labor Day to come up with a set of rules and regulations on what corn will be eligible for ethanol production that will in turn be eligible for the 45Z credits. And when you get right down to it, Treasury is already more than a year late on that, but it can still make it happen for 2025 crop corn. Okay, it is Memorial Day, which means it's Monday. And time for an update on the charts from Kerry Artak. As a reminder, all you have to do is go to artakadvisory.com, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. Click on the free trial button, and Kerry will get you started on a two-week free trial of his daily service. All right, Kerry, get us started.
Yeah, thanks, Chip. We'll start with July corn. So we've got long-term resistance. This is like a nearly one-year channel top in the weekly continuation chart that I've been mentioning on your show now for several months, dropping a little bit every week. It's at 466.75 this week. That is our ceiling for the broader corn futures markets as we move through summer trade. It can contain buying through summer, below which we could, I don't have a signal for this just yet, but we could fall all the way back to that February low of 404 and a quarter over the next 2 to 3, 3 to 5 months. And now I know the July contract will have expired by then, but keep in mind September and December will both inherit that 466 and three quarter long-term resistance. On the way down, I do see 447 even as likely over the next several weeks. It can contain selling through June, and if we were to close below 447 even, a good high through the balance of July contract life, we could, under that scenario, closing below 447 even, yield that 404 and a quarter February low by July expiration. Upside, if we can close the week above 466 and three quarter, and because this is essentially a one-year line study, a one-year channel top, we do need to throw in the 1% violation threshold just for what I would consider to be technical reliability. And that magic number this week is 471.5. So if we close Friday, 471.5 or higher, July corn, this is a significant buy signal. I think over the next 2 to 3 months, that summer rally should yield 575 even before the market grows tired through the rest of the year. On to July soybeans. We've got near-term strength, that is to say, into later June above 1231, even we're above that now. And I do think the 1300 to 1320 region is likely over the next 3 to 5 weeks or sooner. 1300 to 1320, they are narrowing every week. One is a rising formation that goes back 3 years. Another is a descending channel top that goes back 2 years. Together, they form a significant overhead resistance area, 1300 to 1320, that may well contain buying through the rest of the year for the broader soybean futures markets, and we could fall away from there. But if we can get up and over 1320 even, and that's not going to happen this week, but if over the next few weeks we do, 1425 even becomes our next 2 to 3, 3 to 5 month target where we could actually top out through the rest of the year. Downside, if we close back below 1231 even, we've got a good high through the balance of July contract life. I would then expect 1157 even over the following 3 to 5 weeks where July soybeans could bottom out into their expiration. And finally, August feeder cattle. We are likely to reapproach long-term resistance that we actually tested last September that is now at 267.70. This is a 28-year channel top that we tested last September and fell away from significantly all the way to that December low. So 267.70, long-term price ceiling, able to contain broader market, that is to say not only August contract buying, but all the other contracts through the rest of the year as we move through the rest of the year. And following a test of 267.70, we can fall to 250 even within 2 to 3, 3 to 5 weeks, and potentially over the following 3 to 5 months back to 230 even. That's how significant 267.70 is. So 250 even downside can contain, I don't expect to see that this week, but we might over the next few weeks. It could contain selling into possibly through July. And if we close below 250 even, that sets off a significant sell signal as we move through summer trade. 230 even, then likely within about 2 to 3 months of closing below 250 even. 230 even is a 4-year rising channel bottom that we tested last December and held beautifully. And it can continue to contain selling quite possibly through the rest of the year. The way I see the broader feeder cattle market is a ceiling that I've already mentioned at 267.70 through the rest of the year and a floor of support at 230 even that is rising also through the rest of the year. Now, upside, if we close above 267.70 at the end of the week, and once again, because it's a 28-year channel top, it deserves the 1% violation threshold for technical clarity, technical reliability. And that magic number this week is 270.37. So if we settle August feeder cattle, 270.37 or higher on Friday, this sets off another significant buy signal that should, as we move into later year, yield beyond a 300. I have 289 even as a rising channel top, a 4-year channel top that we've yet to test. That would become our objective, but it is rising. It actually hits 300 by late August. And so what I'm saying is we'll get into the low 300s, I think, as we move into autumn trade if we close soon above 267.70. Once again, buy a 1% margin, 270.37 or higher on Friday. And that is all I got, Chip, for this week's roundup.
All right. Thank you, Gary. Excellent. Again, go to rtacadvisory.com for a free trial of Kerry's daily service. Hey, thanks for taking some time and letting us be part of your Memorial Day. Do not forget, you can be part of the National Moment of Silence in the Central Time Zone here in just a couple of minutes. Silence at 3 o'clock p.m. for 1 minute to remember fallen service members. Be safe for the rest of Memorial Day. Check back in with us tomorrow morning at 10:06 Central. There are a lot of issues on the platter for this summer, but none will be more important than weather for the grain markets. We're going to be talking about the summer weather forecast with the guys from BAMWX.com tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it.